absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Time. That's EST for those who don't know what that is, Eastern Standard Time. And as you know it, every Sunday, I am JT, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Lance, the NFL exporter. And as you know, this is the master plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you want to talk to Lance and me. They also have a chat room open for your added convenience. If you want to ask a question, make a statement or a comment in that chat room, you can also do that. We have a jam-packed show in store for you today. We have the first full weekend of fantasy football. 10 games at 1 o'clock, 2 games at 4 o'clock, and then always a Sunday night game. And then followed tomorrow by 2 Monday night games. This is the first full week. Once games are played on Thursday, we're going to be out of here. We start at 10 o'clock. We're going to be out here roughly at 11 o'clock, so we have a lot of things to do. Players that not be playing that you drafted may not be coming up. They may not be playing. Game time decisions, which is crazy for people who play fantasy football. And some other news for players that are sitting on the sidelines because they did a no-no, meaning either a DUI or some kind of drug suspension. We got news on that, too. So we got a jam-packed show. But before I go any further, I'm rambling on for the last 2 minutes or so. I'm rambling on. I want to bring in my esteemed co-host, my man, the NFL exporter. Welcome, Lance. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great this morning, Jerry. You know, it's the first Sunday of the NFL and fantasy football. So, you know, we went hard all preseason. It's the real deal now. Let's go to work.
Yes, let's go to work, man. If you can tell, I'm beside myself because this is my favorite time of the year, even though I like to deal with fantasy football all year round. But this is where the rubber hits the road. You've done the drafting. Let me put it this way. You looked over the players during the summer, including in preseason. You developed a game plan going into your draft. You've drafted already, and now you're going to see what you drafted put on the field and see if you can bring those points in week after week, which ultimately, hopefully with our help, can bring you one of that coveted trophy, money, a championship belt, a ring, but you won a championship, and hopefully along with our help and what you're drafting, we can do that. All right. Before we go any further, I got to lay this news out here because and people rush to the waiver wire to pick these players up, pick a player up at least. Got it this morning. No, let me see. What's today? Today's the 7th. I got it yesterday. About 11 o'clock yesterday, Pro Football Talks' Mike Florio reported a tentative agreement over the use of third-party arbitration for appeals of PED and HGH violations that were caused by positive tests has been reached. And in other words, Roger Goodell, and this is groundbreaking because Roger Goodell and a lot of people have been criticizing Roger Goodell because he's been the judge and jury in all these cases, would give up the power to unilaterally rule on suspension appeals related to situations at DeBalco or Biogenesis cases. Though his disagreement clears one major hurdle in the negotiation process, the two sides still need to hash out a deal with players charged with but not convicted of DUIs. Even though obstacles remain, the general feeling is a deal is close, with one source telling Pro Football Talk, "I'm expecting an announcement at any time." And in essence, people, this means that if Josh Gordon, quite naturally, and earlier, about this time last week, Wes Welker got suspended for basically amphetamines, but Josh Gordon was banished for a year, has a chance, a 50-50 if not stronger chance, of coming back and playing this year. So that created a mad scramble of people going to the waiver wire, including myself, that picked up Josh Gordon. And I did do it in at least three or four of my leagues. And before I go any further, Lance, let me bring in our esteemed founder and the man that started it all. I always have to say that. He's calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, where winners play and players win. Welcome, Vic. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Jerry and Lance. I'm at work. Just thought I'd try to give you guys a quick shout-out. Apologize to Lance live on the air because I didn't get him that link. I equate that to him not starting his show last week, so we're even now.
Oh, here we go.
I'm happy that you reprimanded yourself before I could get to you. I like the way you did that. You came pleading your case to the judge before I even got a chance to pick my gavel up. I appreciate that.
that's how we roll. That's how we roll. Okay. Anyway, I did fail on that because some of us do have to work on the weekends from time to time, and protect the country and all that. I'll throw that there, Your Honor. Anyway. Two things I wanted to get out before I get off the air, and I know you guys have a big show. I didn't get a chance to see what aired yesterday, if anything aired. But the Josh Gordon, Wes Welker, and it was one more player that can come back if the suspensions were lifted. And I had his name on the tip of my tongue before the judge, or Robin, threw me on the mercy of the court. It was Wes Welker. Oh, Orlando Standard. He's also one of those guys that could come back kind of early. I mean, I know he doesn't rate that high with Wes Welker and Josh Gordon as impact on the offense. However, it places him back in the secondary for the Dallas Cowboys and puts Maurice Claiborne back at the corner position, because Maurice Claiborne is not a safety. Not at all. And he's not that good of a corner to begin with.
Right.
But that means just for possibly one or two games, Claiborne goes has to play safety versus teams that like to run the ball. So it doesn't hurt him. But if Kaepernick and Harbaugh and them decide to throw the ball deep, he's going to get exposed. And I, too, was one of those people that jumped on board and tried to get Josh Gordon a few times, but I was skeptical in a few leagues because I'm like, okay, you know what? Who am I going to drop? Because all these players I got right now, I like them. And if I drop one player here, one player there, what happens if he doesn't get his thing overturned? And these are one of my value players. But, it's a funny thing how people fight a system. And when the system decides to revert on its actions, things happen. And I know you probably didn't want to talk about this, Jerry, but I'm going to bring it up real quick, and I got to go. A lot of folks are protesting this Michael Sam deal. They're going to be out at, and of all places, the 49ers are playing the Cowboys. So,
right.
San Francisco is known for certain things, but there's a big group of people protesting the fact that this guy's going to be playing. Now, I said, he got picked up. My issue is, I don't give a damn, about his lifestyle. If you're going to protest the fact that Jerry Jones drafted somebody that's not going to contribute to the team, fine. But you're protesting because he's an openly gay person. Now, there are at least four or five gay people on each football team. They're just not openly gay about it. So why are you going to protest these folks? I have a beef with that. Not that I condone his lifestyle, not that I condone what goes on, but I have a big issue with these folks doing that crap. So that's all I wanted to say. And make sure you get my picks. Make sure you get the people the fantasy stuff, because I know you didn't do it yesterday. All hail to the Redskins. And Lance, you suck. Jerry, you're all right. And you can mute me for a few minutes.
I bet you. We'll see. I bet you my fantasy teams that I have are going to fare much better than yours. So I'm looking forward to this show today. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, listen, it may be a little contrast because I know that you play in 25 leagues. I'm only in three. So I want you to pick your best three leagues. And then, I know you play in leagues with 20,000 people, 20,000 teams. So if you have any leagues with 10 teams, with 10 teams, then that'll
get
be easy. In my leagues, I got 10 teams. So pick your best three leagues, the teams you feel the strongest. If you have any 10-team leagues, pick those. If not, go with the minimum, the least 12 or 14, whatever your number. But I guarantee you my rosters are much tighter than your rosters.
I'll put it this way. And we can do this, Slim. Some of us are feeble-minded enough that they can only do three. Some of us have a stronger mindset that they can do more than three.
Oh, man.
I'll take you up on your offer.
That's all you need to do. Pick your best three teams and bring them to the table and let's go. And also, it has nothing to do with competency, but when you have a family and when you have other things that you have going on, that's the number. And these are three competitive leagues. But let's cut the small talk. Let's get down to business, man.
Wow.
Let's get down to business.
I'll tell you what. Listen up. This is what we're going to do. Because if you're going to base off this football season, you really can't. Because we're not in the same style of leagues. PPR.
Well, I don't want to hear it. Listen, I don't want to hear that. Listen, I don't want to hear that. Regardless of the style of league.
Let me ask you, I know what type of leagues you're in. What are all your leagues PPR, or do you have at least one standard league, Lance?
No. Listen, before we even get to the format and this, that, and the other, regardless of what type of league, if you're in the PPR and I'm in one, your records though are still based on we still
got
to go out and beat our opponents. And we still picked our team.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
So regardless
of
the format and so on and so forth, when we come on the show each week, your win and losses are going to be to the people in your league, and my win and losses are to the people in my league.
I got you.
So I don't want to hear nothing about this format. It's about who we drafted.
Hey, Lance, I got you. I'm going to show you how we're going to do this. I'm going to show you how we can do this straight up. We can do this straight up. JTAT and money.
I'm listening.
We got time before NFL games kick off. Only one game played. We can go to FanDuel or Drive Street. We can create our own duel one-on-one and settle this, son. We can do it every week. Pay a dollar for a holler. That's $16. Do what you want to do, Pip. The challenge has been laid down. Silk is smooth.
Put it down. I'll address you later off the air, man. Let's go ahead and get these fans, give our people what they want, which is the fantasy show. So we'll get back to you, Mr. Gardner, off the air.
Okay. All right. Anyway, like I was saying, Josh Gordon has a strong. Well, Josh Gordon, all these guys that Roger Goodell laid the hammer on, suspended them, have a strong chance. Quite naturally, not this week. They were trying to get it done and have a possibility of the guys that we were talking about have it done this week, but it's not going to be this week, but it's a strong possibility. The early part of next week, an agreement will be in place. Quite naturally, the players have to vote on it, and enough time should be in place that the players that have been suspended for whatever reason, either have their suspensions reduced. Quite naturally, I think either Josh Gordon and Wes Welker can probably have both those suspensions reversed because of Josh Gordon's was right on the one of his A sample was over the minimum, and his B sample was under the minimum, and they got him on his A sample, and then Wes Welker's conviction on amphetamines, which was described as a performance-enhancing drug, will be off the performance-enhancing drug and will be under the substance abuse policy. So that would be to give them a chance to both of them come back if it's in place with enough time for them to get back to the team, go through a couple practices or two, and play it for next fantasy weekend and reality NFL weekend also. So a lot of things are happening, and also the fact – and I'm really surprised because they really must get this policy in place. Is that Roger Goodell has given up some of his power? That is huge because he's been very resistant about doing that in the past, and be able to have him give up the power and in order for this HGH to get into the into place is big. But anyway, let's get to the first set of games. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in real quick too, Jerry, because I know on some of my other shows, and I think maybe even once I had an opportunity to mention that on this show, but I don't like this at all.
I don't
like this at all. You mentioned, from what I've seen, I think that the Ray Rice suspension that he did, he obviously dropped the ball on. It really jolted Commissioner Goodell. I do not see him making firm decisions. He is really, it seems like, I don't know if he's trying to please the public. I don't know if he's trying to please franchises. I don't know what he's trying to do, but that seems to really jolt his decision-making. And the reason that I don't like this here is for this simple reason, is that if they do bring this new thing in here, it should start next year. I don't know how you're gonna come in and reverse something that's already in place for this upcoming season. To me, that tells me that he's more concerned about the NFL, the product, than he is about these players' personal lives. And it's got to be something going on with these franchises, because especially for a guy like Josh Gordon, there's no way. And I don't mean anything against Josh as a person. I don't have anything against the Cleveland Browns, but in my personal opinion, last year he got suspended for the same thing. He missed the first couple games. You come back this year, you get suspended for the same thing again, and then while you're waiting to hear your appeal, you get arrested on a drunken speed and drunken driving charge. So in my opinion, his personal well-being as a person is more important than him being on the football field. But the Browns are so sorry. It just seems like a desperate attempt to give that franchise and the NFL as a whole, because let's be honest, Gordon is one of the premier players in the NFL, to give that team in the NFL a shot in the arm, same as I know players like, Robert Mathis, we mentioned Wes Welker, Denver Broncos, Indianapolis Colts. I'm not going to take all day. I know we want to get to our fantasy stuff, but I did want to mention that I think that this is something that still needs to be a case-by-case scenario, because, like I said, I'm interested in the well-being of Josh Gordon, and I don't see how him playing football this year is going to help him in any way become a better man and a better human being, considering this is back-to-back years that he's breaking the same thing, and then he's getting caught speeding with a DUI. So in my personal opinion, I think he just needs a year off to kind of clear his head, make sure that he gets that problem taken care of. And there's a lot of other repeat offenders, Alden Smith being one of them, who's got a 9-game suspension this year. I know it's for different things, but we'll say that for another show. But I did want to get that out there. To me, this just looks like a desperate attempt by the NFL to allow some of these franchises to be more competitive and continue the NFL product is more important than these players getting their personal lives together. So,
okay. Vic, you want to comment on that before we move on?
I'll say that Mr. Goodell and all those other folks have a product to put out. and that product is the player. So they're going to do whatever they can do in order to sell tickets. Johnny Manziel's not playing. So what else does Cleveland have to offer? Not much. So it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I'm about to go on radio silence for a minute because I'm about to go do some work, but I'm going to listen to you guys. Just bring me in when you need me to come in, Jerry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Are you done?
I was done.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you had something else to say. Hey, okay, anyway, this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to go down to the games. I'm going to try to get all the games in. Definitely try to get all the games in. So we got about 40 minutes and maybe a little bit longer, but we definitely want to get most of these games, not all these games in. What I may do is leave out the two Monday night games because we're starting a new show. Am I right about this, that the extra points are going to be on Monday night at what time, Lance?
That's right. Everybody, tomorrow is the debut edition. My new show, The Extra Point, and that show comes on at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time from 7 to 8. So you can certainly leave those couple games out. We can definitely get to those tomorrow, especially since we're in the time crunch here.
Okay, no problem. So the first game, we got 10, and this is probably going to be unique this week. We have 10 1 o'clock games. So the first 1 o'clock game, and I know Vic is going to love this one, is the Washington Redskins at the Houston Texans, where the Texans, if I'm not mistaken, are favored. Quite naturally, in this, there is a lot of teams, a lot of players on this these rosters that have been drafted in fantasy, starting with Robert Griffin III, and Alfred Morris, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed. On the other side, Adrian Foster, Andre Johnson, more than likely some rosters depending on how deep they are, DeAndre Hopkins, and even their tight end, Friedericci, I think his name is, who's going to be playing for Garrett Graham, who's got an injury that he can't play with this week. And that tight end has been compared to, maybe not as equal to, as a possible Gronkowski type. But we'll have to wait and see. But I see this, and a lot of people skeptical on this guy. I'm going to start off like this. Skeptical on this guy because he had an injury on his back last year, which put him out last year. He only played, I think, a handful of games. But supposedly he's been healthy. No one knows because he hasn't played all preseason. So this is, in essence, is his first game. I'm talking about Arian Foster. In some leagues that I've been in, he's been drafted within the top 12 or 14. Sometimes he's gone into the second round in drafts, or even third rounds in drafts. He's been all over the board within the first three rounds in a lot of drafts I've been. But I like him. If he's healthy, he's one of the top five or six backs, in my opinion. But we'll have to wait and see and see if he can stand up. For those who have Arian Foster, you better bring in Jonathan Grimes as a handcuff just in case you want to still be in that offense and get the production out of that. Quite naturally, I like Andre Johnson in this. I think Andre Johnson is probably going to have close to 80 yards in this game. I really believe that. And he's been deficient in touchdowns over the last years. But I think Andre Johnson is going to get into the end zone. I do believe this. And also like DeAndre Hopkins, because I think they're, besides running the football, which they're going to do a lot of, and I think Frost is going to get his century mark with a touchdown, that DeAndre Hopkins and his big playability, because of the emphasis on the defense is going to be on Andre Johnson, that he gets a shot to get into the end zone also. The big key here is Ryan Fitzpatrick to see if the good or bad Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up. On the other side of the ball, I'm going to pass it off to my co-host, and this is what we're going to do. I'm going to take one side of the matchup, and I want to give the other side of the matchup to my esteemed co-host to give his analysis on that team and the fantasy relevance of the players on that team. Give me what you got there, Lance.
Yeah, sure, no problem. This is a good game. It's surprising to hear you say that the Texans are favored. Nonetheless, for the Redskins, and this is my thing too, it's the first week of the season. And so, I know that in a lot of leagues, it literally does come down to one game making or breaking it. But take the pressure off yourself. This is the first game of the season. You know, play your starters. It's early. Hopefully you have a strong enough lineup. And your team is strong enough overall that one player doesn't make or break your lineup. One loss at the end of the day is not going to make or break your season. So for the Redskins, play everybody. Alfred Morris, I think he's the one who stands to have the biggest day. But DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Robert Griffin III, if any of those guys, I would think about possibly sitting if you don't have any better options, would be RG3. I look at the Texans' defense. Romeo Crennel is the defensive coordinator over there. He's one of the best in the business. You're going to have a mean pass rush from J.J. Wyatt and Javion Clowney. I know Brian Cushion is back healthy over there. So, I mean, if anybody you were going to sit, it would be think about sitting with the RG3. Everybody else, Jackson, Garçon, Jordan Reed, the tight end, Alfred Morris, play those guys with confidence. For the Texans, I think there's a little bit more concern. Obviously, Arian Foster did not play the entire preseason due to some hamstring and calf injuries, and he was definitely one of my two boomer bust guys along with Rob Gronkowski. So every week we're going to be watching him. He had back surgery, coming to last season. He was one of the best running backs in any NFL. So this is going to be his first time on the field, and a lot of people were saying that calf and hamstring injury was a result of that back surgery. And so and then also we had talked about a lot in the preseason, Gary Kubiak, and that zone blocking scheme is no longer over there. So I think Arian Foster is the guy. You're obviously going to play him. You're not going to, I'm quite sure if you drafted him. It was in the first two rounds. You don't sit a guy like that. This is a good matchup against Washington, but Foster is definitely worth watching. And then you mentioned Andre Johnson. Definitely, I mean, come on, they don't have anybody. Him and Hopkins are definitely starters. So I say all engines are a go here. And like I said, I think RG3 is the one, if anybody, who has the most to lose in regards to facing a pretty nasty front four.
Yeah, and let me just add this. RG3 hasn't been shown out too well, and it's talk of him. there's already talk in Washington of Cousins outplaying him. And the possibility of Cousin taking over his job. And that doesn't bode well for him, and he didn't bode well in the preseason. So with an added pressure of all the players that the Texans have gotten back from injury or drafted on the defensive side, and RG3's inconsistent play in the preseason, unless he turns around drastically, he's going to be in for a long day in Houston, in Houston's opener with all these guys that are healthy and anxious to make amends for the last year debacle that they had. Vic and I have a betting interest in this, and he's on one side quite naturally because he's a Redskins fan, and I'm on the other side because I'm a Houston Texans fan. But I have the utmost confidence my boy is going to pull this out. Let's move on to the next game. And I know Vic picks Washington win this game, but that's neither here nor there.
No. Can I get a word in? Because this is probably the only game we'll be able to talk about. Two things, JT. Two things.
Yeah.
One, you guys gave great analysis on both teams, so that was good. Two, it is in Houston. However, the fact that the organization went out and traded for Ryan Mallett with, no preseason time with them, he probably does know the system, but that tells me that they're not confident at all in Fitzpatrick. And that means it's going to be a heavy run game here. They might try a couple of, play action and stuff like that, but this is going to be a heavy run game for the Texans, and try to let that defense get there. Javion Clowney had a concussion. He should be fine. But is he going to get sucked in on that read option? Because I can see that happening with him right now. Because he has a great move to the inside. But he's going against a all-pro left tackle when he goes against Williams. Now, the only issue I see with him and J.J. Watt is that J.J. Watt's coming straight up the middle, clowning a inside technique type guy. If you run towards Jadeveon Clowney, you can run over him. And I think that's what's going to happen in this game. Of course, I'm going to win $100 from JT on this. And I'm going to take $1 of that and invite Lance to a head-to-head battle in FanDuel. And as soon as I get his straight-up email address, I'm going to send him that invite right about now so we can stop all that talk. And I can go to work, and I'll let y'all finish the show.
It sounds like a guy who is not confident in his current rosters.
Yes, I was going to say, Lance.
This is
what you get all week, every day on the show. You get this type of banter, and mm-hmm. you know, I it reeks of no confidence and
mm-hmm.
a need to have a self assurance or reassurance.
Exactly.
What he's doing maybe
exactly.
Working.
Teams,
so it is what it is, but
these teams is ready to roll. No uncertainty.
How can head-to-head picking various draft? I mean, you get to select from every fantasy player out there, not just the ones you drafted, but every player out there.
I know. You want to take all the mistakes that you made and have one last opportunity to hopefully put this thing together.
Right. Man, we offered you an opportunity to join several of the leagues that were all in, but what did you say? Nah, I only do.
Hey, we had this conversation before. So let's keep it pushing, man.
Exactly. We're going to move on to the next 1 o'clock game, which is Tennessee at KC, which is could be the debut of much anticipated, I think he was the first running back taken in the draft, if I'm not mistaken, in Bishop Sankey. So I'm going to take the Tennessee, and I'm going to give Lance to KC. Jake Locker is back with Ken Whitenhunt as one of those head coaches / quarterback gurus that got the best out of Carson Palmer, got the best out of Phillip Rivers last year after everyone thought his career was in the dump. Phil Rivers had a resurgence of his career last year and had a very good year. And the Tennessee brought in Ken Whitenhunt, hoping to revitalize the team's offense, the team itself, and also to get the best out of Jake Locker. The problem I have here is this. Bishop Sankey is the running back of the future, okay? But on the draft, on the starting roster, Sean Green is listed as the starting running back. And I imagine they're going to sprinkle in Bishop Sankey because he's had some fumbling issues and some read issues in pass protection that over the preseason and quite naturally in the OTAs and on the offseason, he hasn't been able to pick up and do it in a consistent basis. Eventually, he's probably going to take over because Sean Green's a plotter. Bishop Sankey still has a rookie, but he's got a lot of more shake and bake and a more explosiveness than quite naturally the plotter Sean Green. So I like Bishop Sankey in his game. I think they're going to use him more in a passing game because Sean Green, like I said, is a plotter and not really a pass catcher. So I'm not looking for Bishop Sankey to get into the end zone, but I'm looking for him to get at least about 50 yards, catch two or three passes, and maybe 25, 30 yards around there. But there's a guy in here, okay, I know everyone's talking about Kendall Wright, and they're probably going to have to throw to maybe play catch-up against Kansas City, but the guy in here, besides Kendall Wright, who, in my opinion, is probably going to catch about six passes because he's basically the number one receiver, and probably about 50, 60 yards in there. I don't know if he's going to get into the end zone because Kendall Wright is a big play wide receiver for the most part, and Jake Locker is not a very accurate quarterback. But this is a young guy, the second year wide receiver in here. I definitely deem him as a sleeper, but he may not be a sleeper in these up and coming weeks because I think he's going to get into the end zone with about four catches and about 50, 60 yards. So I think he's going to be one of these breakout wide receivers for this year is Justin Hunter. Big, tall, rangy wide receiver, nice target, especially in the red zone and the end zone, and I like him. And another guy who's always been a favorite in the position of a young quarterback, and I've always said this, is a tight end. And a tight end is Delanie Walker. Now, a lot of people haven't talked about Delanie Walker. He's not one of these household names in tight ends, but Delanie Walker, in my opinion, is going to have a better season than a lot of people think, and it's a possibility he can move closely to that upper tier, maybe not one, maybe a low two type of tight end. He's going to probably get four catches, probably 40, 50 yards, and it's a strong possibility because Jake Locker likes to throw to him, a young quarterback, with a and it would help his percentage, passing percentage, safe throw in the middle of the field that he can get into the end zone also. So those are what I like. Jake Locker is really not a play for me, but these two guys I really like are the wide receiver and the tight end. With a little sprinkle, the young rookie Sankey. All right, Lance, you there?
Yes, sir. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, the defensive side of football. I'm gonna start there because that's definitely the bright spot for Kansas City. Obviously, this is a game that you want to start Kansas City's defense with a lot of confidence. You're facing a team that, as Jerry just mentioned, have not established who their starting running back is. You have the slower Sean Green. Bishop Sankey has some problems holding on to the ball in the preseason. Quite sure he'll see some time as well. But facing Jake Locker, I believe that Justin Houston and Tamba Ali, Dontari Poe, I think that front seven there can stop the run and get a lot of pressure on Jake Locker. I like Kansas City defense in this one. Also, special teams. Don't forget they picked up rookie DeAnthony Thomas from the University of Oregon. He had an 80-yard punt return in the preseason. So I really like Kansas City's defense and special teams in this one. On the offensive side of the football, obviously Jamaal Charles is the stud. Now, I think it's interesting here. They're without their top wide receiver who, at this point, from what he's done the last 2 years, he's the top receiver on Kansas City, let's put it that way. But Dwayne Bowe is not playing today. So if anybody out there has Dwayne Bowe in your lineup somehow, some way, I don't think he should be in anybody's lineup, but somehow, some way, if he's in your lineup, make sure that you take him out. He is serving a one-game suspension today due for getting caught with marijuana. And so I think that the thing that's interesting is we'll get an opportunity to see how the Chiefs are planning on moving the ball through the air. We know that they're a run-first team. We know that Jamaal Charles, that makes one of the things that makes him a monster, especially in PPR leagues, is that he led the team in receptions and receiving yards and receiving touchdowns last year, so he's going to get. But with Dwayne Bowe out, we've now got to take a look at Kansas City to see who else do they have? Because when I look at their roster after Dwayne Bowe, I believe Donnie Avery is the number two receiver, and he's nothing but a guy who can – a speed guy. He's not a possession receiver. He's not going to run across the middle. So I think today you're going to get an inside look at what other wide receiver for the Chiefs may have some fantasy relevance this year, because if Bowe continues to play at a low level or if he were to suffer an injury – then somebody else is going to have to step up for Kansas City in that passing game. And the guy that I mentioned returning punts, DeAnthony Thomas, I think that he's a guy that they should look to utilize. They lost Dexter McCluster, the free agency, and DeAnthony Thomas is that type of, you know, flanker hybrid player where you just want to get him the ball in space. And so, you know, Jamaal Charles, obviously that's a good start. But don't underestimate this Texans Titans defense, very tough, very underrated. I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think it's going to be, but Jamaal Charles, you know, 100 yards in a touchdown, 100 all-purpose yards in a touchdown is always in the cards for him, so you want to start him with confidence. There should be no other Chiefs on the football field for you today whatsoever as far as offense is concerned. This is going to be a hard-hitting, low-scoring grudge match out in Kansas City, a real defensive battle.
Well, let me ask you something, Lance. I got a question about one guy who was hurt last year and he's healthy now. And I mentioned him that Jake Locker would like him because he's a safe bet to throw to, and this guy's really athletic. Talking about their tight end, Travis Kelce. What do you think about him?
You know, and that's a good point. I was thinking about that. I was saying, I mean, obviously, you know, the tight end position for Kansas City will be relevant as well. So, I mean, I didn't mention Kelce because I would hope that people, I mean, if you're in a two tight end format league somehow, some way, I don't even know if those exist. I know they have so many different formats, but I didn't mention Kelce because, like I said, you just want to watch to see who else in Kansas City's passing game is going to emerge. If you have Travis Kelce in your starting lineup, then let's face it, you did a poor job of drafting because I don't care. When you got to round 13, 14, 50, there were still guys like Delanie Walker and, you know, Charles Clay, you know, a lot of guys way more relevant than Travis Kelce. So we'll watch, keep an eye on him today, but, he should not be in your lineup. If you got him in your lineup at tight end, you got some serious problems going on.
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead.
All right, real quick. I like, what both of you guys said about the players. However, I have to disagree a little bit with Lance there. Kelce is going to be a dynamo. The reason why I say this is because when Alex Smith was quarterback of the 49ers, who did he throw the ball to most of the time? Vernon Davis. Kelce is emerging as a stud for them. I do like the Black Mamba information there because the kick is going to be returning kicks. And, of course, they're going to use him just like he used Jamaal Charles. He's going to get the ball in the backfield. He's going to catch the balls, you know, at receiver as well. However, Donnie Avery, I guess, is their starting receiver there. That's a problem. I don't like Alex Smith whatsoever. And because of that, I believe Jamaal Charles is going to have a lot of touches. However, will he be productive against that Titans defense? I don't know. But Justin Hunter, I think you said this, Jerry, great target to have. Kendall Wright, a bunch of catches, but not that many touchdowns. And I think they're going to use Locker's mobility a little more, just a little bit, just to let him get in the comfort zone, run around a little bit, and create and give teams a different headache. But
he's more accurate when he moves around.
Correct, correct. And I think Tom Bailey is going to be chasing around the field all day. Low scoring, I agree with that, Lance. But be on the lookout for Dexter McCluster to say, you know what, y'all let me out the door, and now I'm going to hurt you because now I'm playing running back, wide receiver, and kick return. So I think if you're in a deep, deep league, like when you have 30 people on your roster and you have to start 15 of them, that might be somebody you want to try to get in there because you never know as far as return yards and all other stuff. That's all I got on that. Go ahead, guys.
Okay, no, I just wanted to say real quick, so everybody, this is why you want to make sure to tune in to my debut show. It's going to be on every Monday from 7 to 8 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio, the same network as you're listening to now. We're making our predictions today, and then tomorrow on my show, I review the predictions that we made today before giving you a preview for fantasy football for the two Monday night football games tomorrow. So make sure to tune in tomorrow so we can check out how things shook out from this Tennessee-Kansas City game and the predictions that we made.
Okay, and here we go. We're going to go to the ATL. I'm going to take the ATL. Lance is going to take the fantasy goodness in New Orleans. Not to say that Atlanta doesn't have any fantasy goodness, but I'm going to take fantasy. This is played in Atlanta. New Orleans is quite naturally plays better in the dome, but doesn't play as well on the road. But I think this is going to be a shootout. Even though New Orleans' defense is better than it's probably been in since they won the Super Bowl, I still think because of the plethora of weapons that are on both sides of the ball, I'm going to take Atlanta. Matt Ryan, in my opinion, is a definite start. He's the captain or conductor that gets this train going, so I definitely think you should play him in here. I see he's going to throw close to 300 yards and at least a couple touchdowns. Before I get to the running back, I'm going to go to the dynamic duo of Julio Jones and Roddy White. There's no doubt in my mind, if you have one of those guys, they should be in your lineup every week as long as they're healthy and twice on Sunday. Julio Jones and Roddy White, both of them can big play wide receivers. Julio Jones, younger and a little more athletic, but Roddy White has been with Ryan for quite a few years and is his mainstay. Both these guys are probably going to get about 60 to 70 yards, about four to six catches, and probably a touchdown each because they're that good. And then the movement to the running back. Steven Jackson, just like Arian Foster, did not do anything in the preseason. Didn't see him. He was nursing an injury, and he's an older back, older than Arian Foster. So he's going to be the starting back until Devontae Freeman, who's been an early preseason darling, a rookie, never supplanted him. He's like fourth on the depth chart behind Jacquizz Rodgers and Antoine Smith until he's able to get the protections down like a lot of rookie running backs have problems with in pass protection. That's one of his issues, and probably learning the playbook is another. He's just going to be the running back in waiting. And he's going to have to prove himself before he gets a shot that Steven Jackson has as the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. I see Steven Jackson, I don't think he's getting into the end zone. I don't think Steven Jackson gets into the end zone. I know you probably see on a few websites that the possibility of Steven Jackson getting into the end zone. I think he does not get into the end zone. I think he gets about 50 to 60, maybe 70 yards. But and a couple catches for maybe 20 yards or something like that, but he doesn't get into the end zone. I know a lot of people may have drafted him for you, running back two or something like that. Don't expect a lot from Steven Jackson, especially the first game coming out of the shoot. But if you have to play him, you play him. But everyone else that I named, Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Matt Ryan, are definite starters. You got to play your studs, especially in the first week. Lance.
Yep, definitely, Jerry. Thanks for passing that over. As far as the New Orleans Saints are concerned, all weapons are a go. I think this is a really good matchup for them, at least from what we've seen in preseason from Atlanta's defense and what Atlanta's defense looks like on paper. Now, this is a rivalry, so I do want to make that known. I used to live in Atlanta. There are tons of New Orleans Saints fans who live in Atlanta. They're yearly, a lot of fans from New Orleans make the trip over to Atlanta and vice versa when Atlanta travels down to New Orleans. So as much as this game has shootout written on it, and it has had shootout written on it in past years, a lot of times you see these games a lot closer, 20-17, 23-17, that type score. So just keep your eye out on that one. Even though it has shootout written on it, But the Saints offense, they're in great shape today. As I mentioned first, that Atlanta's defense, from what we've seen in the preseason and what is on paper, and particularly two second-year defensive backs, really don't have much of a pass rush. Some older guys in OCU Mignora and Corey Bierman. Atlanta's without their best defensive player, Sean Witherspoon. At safety, they're rather weak. They lost Thomas Dekou to free agency. They still have William Moore back there, but he's more of a hitter than a person who can cover. And so I like Mark Ingram today. I think that he's established himself as the main running back for New Orleans when it comes to running the ball. Pierre Thomas is obviously still relevant. He's the guy who's going to be catching up the backfield. Marcus Colston was a wide receiver that we had in our top 25 in the preseason. His stock got of a bump today. Now, two good things that I heard about Colston. If he is available in any league, which he shouldn't be, he should have been taken late, but if he's available, grab him immediately. Number one, he is the number one wide receiver on his team this year. Graham is still the number one target, but he's the number one wide receiver. Besides Colston, they only have Kenny Stills in his second year, and he's out today. So Colston's going to get some more targets, and then they have their rookie Brandon Cooks. And so Colston is clearly the number one wide receiver. As I mentioned, Kenny Steele, the starting wide receiver opposite Colston, He's out today with an injury. And then also Colston earlier this week was emphasizing how good he feels, that the last year and a half, he had a foot injury. It was really nagging him and kind of slowing him down. He said his foot feels great. He's coming into the season healthy. So Marcus Colston is a strong start today. Obviously, Drew Brees every week. We mentioned Mark Ingram, Jimmy Graham. You know that Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham are guys you start every week without any question. But Brandon Cooks is the guy that if you have him on your fantasy team, get him in the lineup today because, like I said, Kenny Stills, the number two wide receiver for New Orleans, is out today. And so that certainly opens up more room for Brandon Cooks to do his thing. He's already a great flex option, but he should get a lot of targets today. So, yeah, the New Orleans Saints offense is definitely good to go. I like their chances a lot today as far as all their skill position players.
All right. Next game on the docket, another 1 o'clock game. We got a bunch of them. Minnesota at St. Louis. I'm going to take St. Louis and give Lance Minnesota. Now, Sam Bradford, again, is not going to be with the team for the whole year because of his retorn ACL in the same leg. So Sean Hill, who is a capable backup and a capable fill-in, is not quite naturally Sam Bradford, or he would have taken Sam Bradford's job originally. So he's going to fill in. So you can imagine what the emphasis is going to be on for the or more of an emphasis because they were emphasizing it already in a Jeff Fisher type of team is to run the ball. But the problem here is this: word is that besides Zach Stacy, there's also Benny Cunningham that's going to be getting touches, and St. Louis is said to be going with the hot hand. So whoever has the hot hand is going to get the ball the most. Quite naturally, Zach Stacy is going to get the first opportunity to be the hot hand, being the starting running back for the St. Louis Rams. So even though Minnesota, in my opinion, can be run on, temper your expectations, pump your brakes. They're going to give the ball to Zach Stacy to see if he can get off first. But if he's not flowing the way the coaches want him to see him flow, then you can guarantee that Benny Cunningham is going to be getting his opportunity, and hopefully he's not the one, if you have Zach Stacy on your roster and starting him, which I think you should, Benny Cunningham doesn't get the hot hand and Zach Stacy gets the bench or gets the secondary role. But you got to start with Zach Stacy. I see him running, in my opinion, if all things works out well, him running for over 100 yards and getting into the end zone. I don't see him a big receiving type of threat. I see him just as a runner. They also have one of Vic's favorite players, Tavon Austin. I don't like this kid. I know he's got a ton of speed. He's got a ton of hype. But I don't see him doing that much in this game. I think he's just a change of pace. And all that, 20 yards maybe in receiving, two or three catches, which is not really fantasy relevant. I really like these two wide receivers. I don't know if they're going to get into the end zone because of the quarterback, but I like these wide receivers. And they're also, I'll talk about them later, but I like these wide receivers. And Brian Quick, I know no one heard that name that much, but I think Brian Quick has been playing a lot better than in past years, and the coaches in preseason have been liking the work he's been doing in. But they also brought a guy in that has a lot of issues. Got a lot of talent, but a lot of issues off the field. I think he's growing up a little bit. If he doesn't, then this is probably his last stop in football because I don't think too many more people can tolerate with his BS. I'm talking about Kenny Britt. I think he gets about five or six catches, maybe 60 to 70 yards. He's a decent possible flex, or maybe wide receiver three at best. But Sean Hill, okay, there's one thing that Minnesota, if they're weak in one thing, it's defending against the tight end. Historically, over the last 5 years, and I don't have the stats, but it's a statistical fact that if you look at the tight ends that have played the Minnesota Vikings, the tight ends have excelled for the main part of playing the Minnesota Vikings. So he had a up and down season last year. I think he was within the top 15 in tight ends. I'm talking about Jared Cook. I think he gets into the end zone. You probably don't have him as your starting tight end, but this guy could be a good fill-in for someone that has Antonio Gates and doesn't have Ladarius Green, because Antonio Gates has got a strong shot of not playing, and you have to look at that situation and weigh your options, and this is a good option away, Jared Cook. 4 catches, maybe 40, 50 yards and a touchdown. Lance.
Okay. Concerning the Minnesota Vikings, I think it's needless to say, you know, that Adrian Peterson is a start every week. It'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out, though, because the last time that Peterson played the Rams, he ran for 182 yards on them. That was back in 2012, so not last year, but the year before. And so now you have a much better Rams defensive line. Since that time, they drafted big Michael Brockers from LSU. This year they went out and got big Aaron Donald, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. And then you have Robert Quinn at one defensive end and Chris Long. You also have James Laurinaitis at middle linebacker. You have Alec Ogletree, who is a stud at outside linebacker. I think this is a different Rams front seven. Nonetheless, you never said Adrian Peterson. You know that he's a guy who is going to get the carries. He gets the goal line carry. So that goes without saying. The guy that we're all going to be watching for today is Cordarrelle Patterson, the wide receiver for Minnesota. We know that last year, the last 4 games of the season, from a fantasy football standpoint, he was the most productive fantasy football wide receiver the last 4 weeks of last year. I have him. I drafted him in my NFL.com league. So he's my number 2 wide receiver. He's actually my flex play today. I was juggling between him and a couple other options. But I said, you know what? I drafted this guy in the 6th round. He is the guy who really has an opportunity to be a big-time player for your fantasy football team. Jerry mentioned in the preseason he made a very good point that the first thing that Norv Turner did when he came over to Minnesota this year was designate and come up with 10 plays strictly for Cordarrelle Patterson. He is the number 1 option over there in that passing attack. They do have Greg Jennings still, but Cordarrelle Patterson is definitely the player that you want to keep your eyes on, a big-time playmaker. And so if you can have an opportunity to put him in your lineup now, there's a little, I won't say reservation, but obviously when Matt Castle drops back to pass, he's going to have a mean pass rush coming after him. But with Adrian Peterson, I don't think that's going to allow the Rams to just rush straight up field. How they normally may, because, you know, Peterson to burn you in. And then also Patterson is a guy who gets his hands on the ball, also like reverses and things of that nature, quick screen. So Cordarrelle Patterson is definitely the player that we're going to evaluate tomorrow. I also like Kyle Rudolph. We mentioned him. He was a tight end that went much later in drafts, but back in 2012. He had 9 receiving TDs last year. Injuries, being a little bit overweight, really fell off the map. But he lost 15 pounds in the offseason. Him and Matt Castle hooked up a lot in the preseason. I think Kyle Rudolph, if you are right now in need of a tight end today, you know, if your tight end that you have in the lineup has a very tough matchup, or you're in need of a tight end today, Kyle Rudolph is definitely a good play. If there's any weakness for the Rams, it is their secondary. And then also, if you have Greg Jennings, he's a possible good play. You know, basically Jennings and Patterson are the main 2 targets at wide receiver. And then also, I like the Vikings defense today. You know, if you're somebody who is in need of a last-minute defense, look, this Rams offense is going to be pretty simplified. We know that they lost Sam Bradford. As good of a backup as Sean Hill is, he has not seen playing time in a couple years. And the last time we've seen him, he was with the Detroit Lions and Calvin Johnson and some more talented players around him. And so I certainly think this is a case today where the Rams are going to be coming in low budget. They're going to be trying to run the football a lot. Teams know that. And I don't see a whole lot of success for Sean Hill in the passing game. As Jerry mentioned, there's not an established receiver on this team. You know, when you're naming Brian Quick and Kenny Britt as the options, certainly not guys that there's a lot of concern and worry about. Obviously, Tavon Austin is probably a guy that we want to wait to see what happens. But I think from a Vikings perspective, this is a good matchup for them on the defensive side of the football. And real quick, if anybody needs or a defensive play, I doubt it. But watch out for Anthony Barr. I know that coming into the season, rightfully so, Jadeveon Clowney and Khalil Mack from the University of Buffalo got all the hype coming into the draft. And like I said, rightfully so, but Anthony Barr, and Vic probably can attest to this, a guy who was over at UCLA, he's a big-time player at outside linebacker. And he's been getting rave reviews from his coaches, his teammates. He's a guy who can definitely rush the passer and look for him to emerge throughout the course of the season. So I think this is a good matchup for people with Minnesota's defense as well as their offensive skill position players outside of Matt Castle.
Okay. Let's move on to a division rivalry, a heated division rivalry. The Cleveland Browns versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, where Ben Roethlisberger, one of my favorite quarterbacks that is very underrated in my opinion, is 17-1 in his last 18 matchups against the Cleveland Browns. The last matchup he had, I think, was the last game of the season where he threw for less than 200 yards, but I think because of the way the offense is running with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I really like Ben Roethlisberger not to throw for over 300 yards, but I think he's going to throw for at least one touchdown and maybe 250 yards. So he's a borderline starter. I mean, there's a lot better options out there, but if you are in a 14-team league and you load it up like I normally do, load up on other players before you go picking your quarterback, and then the level of quarterback that you get is around the Ben Roethlisberger's type of quarterback, he's not a bad player for your starting, especially in this matchup, starting quarterback. They got a lot of guys in here that I want to talk about. Le'Veon Bell, he's going to get over 100 yards. He's got a pretty stellar defense in Cleveland, but Le'Veon Bell is a two-threat back, meaning I'm talking about running and catching the ball. Even though he's got LeGarrette Blount breathing down his neck and taking away touches, I still believe Le'Veon Bell is going to get close to 100 yards and get into the end zone with the 2-3 catches and 30, 40 yards in the passing game. You got your boy, my boy Antonio Brown. Now, all dependent, Mike Pettine said that he wasn't going to have Joe Hayden shadow Antonio Brown. You have to wait and see if that's going to happen, that if he's going to get shadowed all across the field. If he doesn't, then Antonio Brown's going to have an even better game than five catches, about 50, 60, 70 yards. If that's the case, then he also, it's a strong possibility, he'll get into the end zone. Lance Moore's out. He's definitely out. So look at this rookie on the other side called Marcus Wheaton. They got little water bugs and quick guys as wide receivers. And with this no huddle, it's going to create problems in the secondary in Cleveland. I like Marcus Wheaton. And most people probably don't even have him in their lineup. But if things pan out like they think they may pan out, this kid may get into the end zone and may be the beneficiary of Joe Hayden being on Antonio Brown. Now, you got to start Antonio Brown because of the fact he was Antonio Brown and the things he did last year and the previous year, and he's only building on that. So you got to play Antonio Brown, but don't be surprised if Marcus Wheaton is the better of the two statistically wide receivers. I would play Heath Miller, but there's a lot of other better choices, just like Lance talked about other choices in tight ends. Heath Miller is probably your second tight end if just in case your starting tight end gets hurt. Otherwise than that, Cleveland, Lance.
Sure. I'm going to start off on the defensive side of the football with Cleveland. I think that that is where their brightest prospects look, and I think that speaks volumes if you're considering that I'm speaking on the team's defense before their offense. Look, this Cleveland Browns defense is stout. They were very tough last year. I know it was just preseason, but they looked a whole lot better this year. They did lose to Quell Jackson and T.J. Ward to free agency. However, there's a system in place. And those guys fly around to the football. And so I think I'm going to tell you this Cleveland's defense would be a top 10 defense if they had a better offense. I think that's the only problem is that they're going to end up being on the field so much due to a poor offense that, you know, the numbers are going to kind of add up. But I still see them getting sacks. You know, you have a couple ball hawks. Obviously, Joe Hayden is the established one. He has definitely established himself as a premier shutdown cornerback in this league. They went out and drafted rookie Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State. He's been flying under the radar. Not a lot of talk with that, but hell, good for him. He's learning under Joe Hayden. He's learning that system. They brought over Dante Whitner, the hard-hitting safety from San Francisco. He is a liability in coverage. He's a liability in coverage. However, he is a hard hitter. And he fits in perfect with that defense. So I really like Cleveland's defense. This is another today. This is going to be a game out of all the games in week one where the players are immediately going to be jumping in the ice bathtub. This is going to be a hard-hitting black and blue AFC North rough division. This is going to be another low-scoring game, probably 20 to 13, 17 to 13. Cleveland's defense knows that they have to play well to make amends for that porous offense. So if you need a good defense, and I think this is a good matchup for the simple fact that they're familiar with Pittsburgh's offense being in the same division. Right. Jerry mentioned Joe Hayden is going to be locking down Antonio Brown. The running game, Cleveland is stout against the run, and Pittsburgh does not have any other established wide receivers. They lost Jericho Cotchery. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. So like Jerry mentioned, even with veteran Lance Moore being out, now you got a second-year guy in Marcus Wheaton at the other wide receiver. And a lot of people didn't talk about it, but the Steelers' passing game is one that struggled in the preseason as well. So if you need a good defense today, definitely stick Cleveland in there. You know, I don't think they're going to get tons of points scored on them. On the offensive side of the football, look, Ben Tate owners, let's get it going early because my take on Tate was, yes, he's going to get all the carries. Yes, he's going to be the goal line running back. Yes, Cleveland's going to run the football a lot, but he's in the tough AFC North division. And running against Pittsburgh, running against Cincinnati, running against Baltimore is not easy. And so it's time to put up or shut up for Ben Tate owners. I know it's just the first week, but he's going to get a lot of touches, and let's see what he does. You know, my analysis on him was if Josh Gordon gets back, let's face it, Cleveland doesn't have any wide receivers, okay? Somebody's going to have to catch the football, but the Cleveland does not have, you're talking about who, Miles Austin, Lavelle Hawkins, Andrew Hawkins, Jordan Cameron, the tight end, is probably the one who stands the best opportunity, and we've seen teams clamp down on him last year when he started to make some noise. And so I think the guy that you want to watch out here for is Terrence West, the backup running back for Cleveland. I know that Ben Tate is starting, but West has a lot of shake and bake. He looked really good in the preseason, and I think he's a guy with Cleveland running the football so much. You want to talk about a timeshare. I think he's a guy who's going to see a lot of carries. Unlike your normal timeshare, I would say the starting running back probably gets, let's say 75% of the carries, and the other guy gets 25. I think Terrence West could see 35 to 40% of the carries. So I think watching the Browns running game and their overall offensive strategy, we got to see what they're going to bring to the table because having to play without a guy like Josh Gordon totally changes that offense, and they look poor in the preseason. So if you're going to play somebody, Jordan Cameron, their tight end, you definitely want to have him going. Like I said, they really don't have too many options in the passing game. And let's see what Ben Tate does today. You know, he's a guy that some people were high on him. Some people were reluctant to take him, myself included. So let's see how that pans out. Other than that, you should not have – well, and Jerry's guy. Let's see how Andrew Hawkins, Jerry picked him up in his draft. He's going to be a monster PPR. So same thing. It is just one game. It is against Dick LeBeau, and you certainly respect Pittsburgh's defense. But let's see how that works out today for Andrew Hawkins, Ben Tate, Terrence West, and Jordan Cameron.
And one more thing before I move on, and I neglected to say this about this guy because I think he's going to be another standout rookie linebacker that is slowly coming to the forefront, but right now is flying under the radar. I'm talking about Ryan Shazier from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been over the field in preseason, and he's been playing well, and he's been raising eyebrows with the Pittsburgh Steelers in his play. So look for, especially when they start running the ball and using Jordan Cameron, the possibility that Shazier may be covering Cameron and quite naturally be in on the tackles on a running game. See how Ryan Shazier plays because he's an up-and-coming rookie linebacker in his first AFC North football, NFL football game. So I'm interested to also see how he plays. Anyway, let's move on to the next one, which should be a very interesting. We got a young offense in the Chip Kelly offense against a Jaguar team that's rebuilding in Philly with Philly's home opener. I'm going to take the Jaguars, and I'm going to give Lance the plethora of guys on Philly to take. So let's go this way. Chad Henne. Don't play him. Unless you've got a two-quarterback lead, league, then there's no need for you to play him because there's plenty of other better options out there than Chad Henne. Toby Gerhart, Philadelphia, does, if for one thing on our defense, they do have a decent run defense. But as a flex or a running back two, when you know this guy's going to get the majority, if not all the touches, and is going to be the bell cow. I put Toby Gerhart in there. He may not get into the end zone, but he's definitely going to get about 60 to 70 yards, and he's going to catch the ball because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. About three or four catches, about 20 yards. So he's going to get in a PPR. He's going to get about 10 to 12 points in a PPR, which is not bad. For a running back two or a flex. So don't expect a lot, especially playing this defense. But the Jaguars do have a good schedule in the future for the running back. Toby Gerhart, even though he may not play that, may not accumulate that many points in this game in the future, if you look at the games that he's going to be playing against the defenses that he's going to be playing, he should do well as long as he stays healthy. They got new wide receivers, Allen Hurns, Marcus Lee, Allen Robinson, I don't think he's going to be playing, new wide receivers, a quarterback that is playing on a team that he's going to be the standard bearer for now until Blake Bortles actually gets into the game, which probably be halfway through the season about halfway through the season if they see that the Jaguars are not going anywhere, just holding it the fort down for Blake Bortles. It's a tough play to play anybody on this team. They got to throw the ball to somebody, but you don't know exactly who's going to be the one that's going to get the majority of the receptions. So Toby Gerhart, in my opinion, is probably the only guy to play. It may be an outside chance because of Chad Henne not going to have the time to really throw the ball downfield that much. Mercedes Lewis. But otherwise than that, that's it, Lance.
Yep. Well, I'm coming in with the Eagles. This is definitely a very, very favorable matchup. The only thing that you worry about in games like this is a possible, I don't want to say a letdown. I don't see Philly losing this game, but they're going to take these guys too lightly. And if any game, and I know that Vic, Jerry here, my pops, what's going on? You know, the guys who have interest in this thing as far as from a game from the point spread standpoint, is there any chance here that Philly, you know, if you're going to catch a team off guard, it's going to be within the first couple weeks of the season. And so, you know, we certainly hope Philly does not have a letdown as far as maybe just getting off to a slow start. being a little sluggish. But when you're looking at the X's and O's, when you're really looking at the thing on paper, that has Philly written all over it, and certainly their fantasy football studs will benefit from this, starting off with LeSean McCoy. He was my number one start for this upcoming week. Led the NFL in rushing last year against this Jacksonville defense, in which we've seen Reggie Bush score 86-yard touchdown in the preseason. He should have no problem at all. So Shady McCoy is to me, the number one starter running back this week here, week one. Darren Sproles is another guy who certainly can be in tow for a double-digit game. I know that he's a lot of people's flex, one of the best flex options. He has been in the NFL for quite some time now. Wide receivers. Let's just go with Nick Foles. I'll put it to you that way, because he's the guy who is going to benefit from all the weapons that he has. And so this week, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see. When you're starting to see now in the NFL what these top-notch offenses is, certainly have your main guys, but there's a plethora of weapons. And so when you're looking at what Nick Foles has at his disposal, he has two running backs in Shady McCoy and Darren Sproles, who can catch up the backfield. He has Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper, the rookie 6'3", Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt at wide receiver. And then he's got two big tight ends in Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. And so this is a day for Nick Foles. If you have him at quarterback or he's on your roster, I don't see how you can have too many better matchups than Foles at home against the lowly Jaguars, and who I don't think anybody can name a starter in that secondary in a 5 to 10 second time period. Certainly you like that. And then, like I said, let's see which tight end. You know, Jerry, we had this debate in the preseason about a lot of these teams that have talent at tight end. If it was just that one tight end, then without question, Zach Ertz is that guy. If he was the only player in Philadelphia, his draft stock would be a lot more. So let's see today between Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, who gets more production. And then also, we're going to be looking at Jeremy Maclin, because he is a guy who I'm assuming is probably on most people's benches. We're going to evaluate and just kind of see what he does. But he has over 1,300 yards of production to replace in DeSean Jackson. Riley Cooper is there. I think he's a strong play. He was a guy that I mentioned to add some nice depth to your team in later rounds. Had 835 yards and 8 TDs last year. So let's see how it plays out. But everybody's a go for Philly's offense. And then as far as Philadelphia's defense is concerned, again, I don't think they were mentioned in the top defenses. But look, adding Darren Sproles to your kick and punt return game is certainly an additive. And then as Jerry mentioned, you have Toby Gearhart. He's yet to prove himself, so I don't know how much success they're going to have running the football. Jacksonville's probably going to find themselves having to pass the football, which I believe is what they're going to have to do to move the ball anyway this year. And so that certainly presents a lot of opportunities for Sacks. You still have Trent Cole and Connor Barwin rushing the passer, D'Amico Rhines, Fletcher Cox, those guys up front. And then the Eagles secondary is upgraded some. You still have Kerry Williams. He came over last year from the Ravens. Brandon Boykins at the other defensive back, but I like them bringing over Malcolm Jenkins, the safety from the New Orleans Saints, to help Nate Allen on that backside. And so this certainly could be a game where Philadelphia's defense special teams could pay some dividends as well. So I think that everything here is leaning towards the Eagles' favor. And I just want to mention real quick, as far as Jacksonville is concerned, Cecil Shorts III is hurt and is not playing today. So if you have Cecil Shorts III, somehow someone in your lineup, make sure to get him out. And I think that the guy you want to replace him with, and Jerry, I was talking about that at the beginning of the show, I was kind of juggling my flex options, is Marquise Lee, the rookie from USC. I know he's not the most named guy. I know that Jacksonville is favored to lose heavily. But as I mentioned, they're going to have to pass the football an awful lot. And with Cecil Shorts III being out of the lineup, Marquise Lee, who was the second wide receiver to start, he's not a main guy, and he's going to be the player that Chad Henne is most familiar with. So in a losing cause, don't be surprised to see Marquise Lee, possibly with 80 yards and a touchdown. So just wanted to throw that in as far as we'll do our reviews tomorrow.
Okay. And we're moving on to the New York Football Jets hosting the Oakland Raiders. One thing that the Oakland has, I don't know the exact statistic, but I know they have a very bad record of West Coast to East Coast travel in winning football games. Well, their head coach changed it up, and instead of coming in on Friday, came in on, if I'm not mistaken, Thursday, an extra day, so they can get accumulated to the time difference and be more relaxed going into the game. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement out here, not because I'm a former Jet fan, but because I've seen this kid play, and it looks like he's playing beyond his years. I know Jets going to throw the kitchen sink at him, being that he's a rookie quarterback starting his first NFL game. But I really like this kid, Derek Carr. So just make a note of it that I think they're going to fall behind in Oakland. I think that this kid's going to be throwing the ball a lot, throwing it to James Jones, who's supposedly the number one wide receiver. But if you watch the games that he played in preseason, I'm talking about Derek Carr, he's been throwing a lot of ball and looks like he's got a better rapport with Denarius Moore than he has with any other wide receiver. And Denarius Moore, quite naturally, has always had a history of trying to stay healthy. But he's a big play wide receiver with a ton of speed and ability. His issue is health. When he's healthy, for the most part, he's productive. But they didn't bring James Jones in here for nothing and sign him to a contract to be the two or three wide receivers. So he's going to get the supposedly the bulk of the work. So look for that hookup. Anybody else on this team is you have to wait and see. Let me put it that way. Raiders are a team that's got young guys and a lot of old guys trying to get the mess going. They put Derek Carr in charge of the offense, being the quarterback. I think this kid's done a lot of growing up, even in the NFL experience-wise, in the preseason. He's shown an improvement every game he's played in and outplayed the veteran that came over from Houston, Matt Schaub. So we'll have to wait and see. He may be the next rising quarterback in the NFL, a young quarterback in the NFL, and he'll get a stiff test today against the New York Jets. Lance.
Yeah, Jerry, as far as the Jets are concerned, everybody is definitely going to be looking at Chris Johnson, the running back who came over from the Tennessee Titans. I like the left side of that Jets line as far as running the ball is concerned. You have DeBrickus Shea Ferguson at tackle, Willie Colon at guard, and Nick Mangold at center. And so they should definitely be able to get a push up front. As I mentioned, though, we're going to see. I think that Johnson is in a similar situation as he was in Tennessee, which is where he's playing with the unestablished quarterback, and so he's going to face a lot of 7- and 8-man fronts, and the Raiders' defense is highly upgraded. Now on their front line, you have Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley. They drafted Khalil Mack from University of Buffalo. And so that Raiders' defensive line in front seven has been upgraded immensely. The other guy that we're going to be looking out for here is Eric Decker. Now, I've seen him slide in a lot of fantasy drafts. I know he's sitting on a lot of free agent wires. We obviously are not expecting the production he put up last year in Denver. However, he is Geno Smith's main target. That is a fact. And so we're going to see exactly today what type of damage Decker can do. I think if anything, Decker is a presence in the red zone. And so we're gonna see. You know, Eric Decker is a guy who depending on how things play out, certainly can have some fantasy football relevance. I think the other thing to watch as well too with Chris Johnson is making sure he's going to get the goal line carries. I know last year Sean Green, a bigger back, you know, was able to get those carries. This year, even though I wouldn't consider the back bigger, Chris Ivory is a guy who may have a little bit more reckless abandon when it comes to running the football. So let's see if Chris Johnson is affected by any goal line carries. And then as far as the Jets defense is concerned, don't play them. You know, I don't know how many people were. This is not the same Jets defense that we've seen in past years as far as from a secondary standpoint. They still have a very tough front seven. with Sheldon Richardson, who was a defensive rookie of the year last year, Muhammad Wilkerson, David Harris, Calvin Pace, those guys. But their secondary, which is always one of Rex Ryan's strengths, has now become that team's weakness. To make matters worse, their best defensive back, D. Milliner, who's only in his second year, is out today with an injury. And so I think that we want to watch and see that secondary, because I think that David Carr and the Raiders passing game may be able to have some success against a very young and unproven secondary. I think the guy that we want to watch in this secondary here for the Jets is Calvin Pryor, the rookie from Louisville. He had a very strong preseason, and he's got his work cut out today trying to you know, cover up the back end for a very poor secondary.
Okay. Let's move on to another AFC North matchup. These guys do not like each other at all. They have knockdown, drag-out fights whenever they match up against each other. We already talked about the Cleveland and Pittsburgh, so you know what the other matchup is in the AFC North. It's the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens, the Red Rifle against Cool Joe Flacco and company. Red Rifle, he's going to get about 250 yards in this matchup, a couple touchdowns. A.J. Green, you know you got to play him. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the premier wide receivers in the league. We got a new young buck on the rise. Took the place of the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, is no longer there. You got Jeremy Hill, who's going to be taking away touches from Giovanni Bernard. Hugh Jackson is the offensive coordinator, who is a run-minded offensive coordinator, so they're going to run the football a lot. Giovanni Bernard is going to get the majority of those touches in the run game. He's going to get close to 800. He's going to get close to 80 to 100 yards in this game. He can do a lot of damage in the pass game because he showed last year he was dynamic. He's only 5 yards, about 30. I mean, excuse me, 5 catches, about 30 yards, somewhere around there. I see him getting into the end zone. Okay, I do see him getting into the end zone. Whether the Red Rifle throws a pass to Giovanni Bernard and he takes it to the house, or he runs it in, I see Giovanni getting in there. Quite naturally, I see A.J. getting in there. It's going to be a tight game. These two teams do not like each other. I'm going to pass it off to Lance for Baltimore, but before I do that, I'm going to say, and this is the only thing I'm going to say about Baltimore, this is another linebacker, young linebacker, that I'm looking forward to watching and see how he pans out. I'm talking about C.J. Mosley on the Baltimore Ravens. Lance.
Yes, sir. We're back in the AFC North. Another fierce rival. It's going to be another hard-hitting game. I don't expect to see a lot of fireworks in this one. When we're looking at the Ravens, on the offensive side of the football, you know, we got to start with Bernard Pierce. We got to see how effective he's going to be to do today. We know that Ray Rice is out, but, again, former head coach of Houston, Gary Kubiak, is over there now. They got their new zone blocking running scheme, so let's see how well Pierce, that's a system. That is truly a system. That is, if you're a running back who is a guy who can stick your foot in the ground and get upfield, you're good for this system. And we've seen a lot of, you know, Terrell Davis was the prime example, seventh round pick out of Georgia, really excelled.
Right.
So this is a system that's in place. So let's see, first of all, how effective that running game is for Baltimore. That is an area that they struggled in big time last year. Number two, looking at the passing game, I think Joe Flacco is the one who, again, has the most to stand because much better weapons than he had last year. Last year he found himself in a situation with only one established receiver in Torrey Smith. Jacoby Jones went down early with an injury, and that left him with a bunch of rookies, and Dennis Pitta was out, so he really struggled. This year he's got a healthy Pitta. So, number one, I think Dennis Pitta could be a strong play today, although Cincinnati's secondary and their linebackers are very underrated. They have some linebackers in Malaluga and Vontaze Burfict who can drop back into coverage. Also, you know, they have some nice depth at secondary. And so Dennis Pitta could be a strong play, but we're talking about Torrey Smith. They brought over Steve Smith from the Panthers. You have Jacoby Jones now at 3 and Marlon Brown at number 4. And so now Flacco has five viable options to pass the football to. So, again, we have to wait and see. You know, in this situation with these teams where you have all of these weapons, especially on a week-to-week basis, you don't know how it's going to play out. So I would say this is normally a situation where we're saying Torrey Smith all day. Now with all those other weapons included, let's see how Torrey Smith performs. And then on the defensive side of the football, I like this matchup for Baltimore. I was really high on their defense in the preseason. My only concern with them is their safety. But other than that, I mean, when you look at Baltimore's front seven on defense, we're talking about Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, Courtney Upshaw. Jerry mentioned the top linebacker coming out of college this year, C.J. Mosley. Darryl Smith is a savvy veteran. And they drafted Tim Jernigan. And so their defense looked real aggressive. You know that they're going to get after the passer. And if anything that we've seen from the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, it's been inconsistent opening up holes in the running game and very inconsistent protecting Andy Dalton. And even last year in the game at home, which is key. This is a home game for Baltimore. In Baltimore, we've seen the Bengals struggle in pass protection. There's no question that the Dumervil and Suggs are one of the best pass-rushing duos in the NFL. So I like Baltimore's defense in this one. Also, hey, Jacoby Jones is running back kicks and punts. And so you know he's a threat to do some things. So I like Baltimore winning this game overall at home. You know that last year the Bengals blew out Baltimore to eliminate them from the playoffs. I see them exacting revenge. The other thing to keep in mind for Cincinnati as well, Marvin Jones, that's the second biggest playmaker for their offense, is out today with a foot injury. So A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu are the only two receivers, and I think that Baltimore's defense can kind of hold them in check. So I think Baltimore's defense today, and you just got to, on the offensive side, I really can't. Like I said, I think going with Joe Flacco is your best option because you really don't know on that offense who is going to do what. If I had to go with anybody, I would say that Dennis Pitta would be your guy today.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the Buffalo at Chicago. Taking Buffalo. I'm not taking Buffalo or the win. I'm just taking Buffalo to give you the analysis of what I see on Buffalo fantasy-wise.
Had to clear that up real quick, huh?
Excuse me?
I thought you had to clear that up real quick, huh?
Absolutely, because I know when I said no, I'm not taking Buffalo to win this game. I'm just taking Buffalo for fantasy here. E.J. Manuel, I have no faith in E.J. Manuel at all, and the coaching staff is really at their wit's end, thinking that they made a mistake with E.J. Manuel because he hasn't picked up the offense, and he hasn't been consistent in the passing-wise. So I have no faith in E.J. Manuel, and that's going to hurt the passing game, including Sammy Watkins in this game. I know a lot of people drafted Sammy Watkins probably in maybe fifth, sixth round, maybe a little later, depending on their affection for Sammy Watkins. Don't expect too much here. I know he's the number one wide receiver. Unless E.J. Manuel can somehow clean up his accuracy instantaneously, I don't see Sammy Watkins having a big day here. If anybody, I think the more experienced wide receiver would be Robert Woods. He'd probably get the same amount of yardage and catches that Sammy Watkins have, but I think he's probably the only one that may get into the end zone. But there's no given here about any of these wide receivers especially. I think they're going to rely heavily on the two running backs, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller is a big play wide receiver. Fred Jackson is the goal line back, the guy to get into the end zone when you need it. So I see Fred Jackson. If you have Fred Jackson in a flex or something like that, then I would definitely put him in there for that because he's a strong possibility due to the they improved their defense a little bit, meaning Chicago, but they were one of the worst run defenses in the league, and I think that's still going to be the case. So I think the Buffalo Bills can run the ball, and those two running backs will be more effective with Fred Jones getting into the end zone, C.J. Spiller getting his 50 to 60 yards in the run game, and about 30 or 40 yards with three catches in the passing game. But Most people are going to play C.J. Spiller, and I would play him at a flex too. Both these running backs, they're going to run the ball a lot, but I still see him at the flex option. Nothing more than that. Lance.
Yep, looking at Chicago, this is set up for them to get their offense off to a great start this year. Everybody to start, favorable matchups. You got Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. I think the interesting guy we want to watch out for today is Martellus Bennett, the tight end for Chicago. This good secondary has yet to prove itself, and they usually play much better at home than on the road. And this is a road game for the Bills, and so I think that Martellus Bennett as a guy, you know, teams are going to be paying so much attention to Jeffrey and Marshall on the outside. I think that Jay Cutler will be able to use Martellus Bennett. I actually got a situation on my hands today that's a little bit tricky for me. I have Rob Gronkowski, but I also have Martellus Bennett. I'm leaning towards Bennett because I know that, like I said, a lot of attention on the outside. And I just like the matchup with Gronkowski today. You know, his snaps are going to be limited. I'm certainly hoping it's not a situation where his snaps that are limited are strictly red zone opportunities, which is strongly be the case. But Martellus Bennett, that whole offense is a strong start today. I think the interesting thing to watch out for Chicago is their defense. Coming into last year, this was a top 10 defense, but with the way they got ravaged with injuries and they lost Brian Urlacher, that team was one of the worst in the league last year at stopping the run. And so, you know, if nothing else that Buffalo can do is run the football with Spiller and Fred Jackson. And so I think that we want to watch to see is Chicago's defense going to be able to stop the run, because Ray Rice, as poor as he played last year, was able to go into Chicago and run for like 150 yards last year in the latter part of the season. So they did bring over Jared Allen to replace Julius Peppers. They still have Lance Briggs, but they lost Henry Melton at a free agency. Like I said, Urlacher is no longer there. I like their secondary, but we want to see. You know, is Chicago going to, is their defense going to be a liability against the run? If they can stop the run, then Chicago's defense certainly has some relevancy again this year. But if they cannot stop the run, then it's not going to be the same. Then also to note real quick, you know, that they lost Devin Hester to free agency and Eric Wien. And so, you know, they have a little bit of an edge taken off of their possibility to run back kicks and punts, which always used to be a big-time threat.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the AFC East division matchup. Everybody's talking about the demise of this Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't see it. He gets one of his BFFs back. I'm talking about Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. He's going to throw for over 300 yards. They're playing in nice, warm Miami. Ideal conditions. If you call 80-degree weather, probably 80% humidity, ideal weather. I see him throwing for about 300 yards. Ben Vereen is a definite, especially in PPR. I've been reluctant to come on board as a Ben Vereen fan, but definitely in PPR, this guy is with Danny Woodhead no longer there. Ben Vereen, starting the season healthy like he did didn't last year. He was in and out of the lineup, but when he was healthy, he was effective. I see him getting about 40 yards in the rushing game, but his forte is catching the ball out of the backfield and doing his thing out of the backfield. And I see in PPR him getting about 60 catches and about 50 yards. And along with his rushing ability, he should be a nice flex and maybe an RB2, especially in PPR leagues. Now, the other guys, Julian Edelman, he got over 100 catches last year from Brady. I still see him doing the same thing, him being the number one wide receiver. Really there's no reliability or I would say kinsmanship that Brady has with Danny Amendola, because you never know what hit's going to take him out of the game. But Julian Edelman's been consistent. I see him getting about 7 or 8 catches, getting into the century mark, ain't definitely getting into the end zone. And last but not least, Lance mentioned it, that they're going to be limited touches for Ron Gronkowski, and he also touched on that about end zone targets, and I think that's where he's going to get limited. He's probably going to get some middle of the field touches, but they're going to reserve a lot of his chances for the end zone, meaning between from the 20 on in. So, and that's where he's very effective because of his size against the defensive backs or safeties, that he can go up and get the ball. So I do see him getting about 5 or 6 catches and accumulation of about 60 to 70 yards and a touchdown. Lance.
Yeah, for goodness, for Miami, for the Dolphins today. On the offensive side of the football, here's another team, tons of question marks. They have a new offensive coordinator out there. They brought in No'Shawn Moreno. Mike Wallace is trying to restore his reputation. And so this should be interesting for Miami. They're a team that I think that is going to take a couple weeks for them to get an established identity. I think that it's going to be in their best interest to choose a starting running back. Right now they're trying to do the whole timeshare thing, and you know what? It just doesn't work. It does not work. You know, number one,
right.
you don't allow the running back to get himself established in any type of rhythm. And then the other thing that gets missed in that is not only the running back, but guess what? The offensive linemen don't get a chance to really get a feel for, you know, who it is that they're blocking for. You know, they may be blocking one way for Moreno, and then they start blocking another way for Lamar Miller. So at some point, Miami is going to have to figure out who it is that they want to be, you know, their starting running back. So we want to watch that. I think Moreno has more upside. They have Lamar Miller listed as a starter. But I think that with Moreno being able to catch out the backfield and get the goal line carries, he has more of an upside. When you're looking at the wide receivers for Miami, look, interesting scenario. You have now New England has Brandon Browner from the Legion of Boom, and Darrell Revis, who was the best
yep.
defensive back a couple of years ago prior to his injury. And so are those guys going to be hold up to their end of the bargain? Like I said, it's early in the season, but at any time you're going to catch people slipping, it's now. And so Mike Wallace, we mentioned him, came over, big contract from Pittsburgh last year, underachieved. He did not lead the team in receiving yards. And more than anything, he had drops at key moments. In games, and just had some games where he just flat out came up missing, especially down the stretch when they were trying to make the playoffs. I will say that he was open on about a handful of deep balls that Ryan Tannehill threw the ball in accurately, but let's see how they're going to be using Mike Wallace. I know he's a guy, Jerry, that when we did our preseason rankings, he was hovering around the top 25, kind of like 24, 25, or maybe, you know, 25 to 30. So let's see him put up or shut up. I think the guy that we want to watch this year for Miami who can be a big-time playmaker and is an excellent steal for people that were able to get him in drafts. I was laughing with my cousin last night when I was unable to get an elite tight end in my NFL.com league. Once I seen that, I said, I'm going to fall back and get Charles Clay. And my cousin nabbed him in the 13th round, four picks ahead of me. But Charles Clay last year came onto the scene, 759 yards, 7 TDs, and Miami did not know what they had in him. This year, they know that he's a big part of that offense. So I think that utilizing Charles Clay is a big part of Ryan Tannehill's success. So let's see if they can exploit that matchup. On the defensive side of the football for Miami, Miami is the one team that has played New England extremely tough the last couple seasons. There have not been a lot of blowouts in those games. They really came down to the wire. If you remember a couple years ago, it took a late touchdown on a 99-yarder from Wes Welker to seal that game. And then last year, very difficult. And I think what makes it so difficult is you look at Miami's defense. Now, I wouldn't recommend playing Miami's defense today against New England and a healthy Tom Brady and a fully prepared Patriots squad. But let's talk about moving forward. Look, you got Cameron Wake. He's an elite pass rusher. They're stout up front. Jason Udrich is versatile, rushing the passer, stopping the run. They got big Randy Starks. Vernon Oliver had 10.5 sacks. Some decent linebackers with Phillip Wheeler, who, by the way, is going to be out today. Danelle Ellerby. And then I like them bringing over Cortland Finnegan to go opposite Brent Grimes. They brought over Lewis Delmas from Detroit. So moving forward, I think that the Dolphins' defense in certain matchups is worth noting. But today is not the day. I probably would not take my chances, especially as Jerry mentioned. I think that Shane Vereen being able to exploit those linebackers is a situation that Tom Brady's going to take advantage of today.
All right, let's move on to very disconcerting news for Carolina Panther fans and also Carolina Panther, I should say fantasy football fans, Cam Newton. Ron Rivera is on the fence on whether he's going to start Cam Newton in this game. I think it's probably a game time decision, and he's listed as questionable. You know what? If you have another option in Cam Newton, you still have up until this is a 4 o'clock game that we're into now. I don't know if you want to take the chance and not having a quarterback that you're waiting for Cam Newton if he's going to start or not. So you may want to go to a alternate quarterback, maybe a Carson Palmer that you know is going to play, but that's on Monday night. But you know he's going to play. He's not hurt. Rather than take the chance and have Cam Newton, even if he does play with a cracked rib or two, that he doesn't play the full game. I know Cam Newton is a big part of that offense, especially in the run game. So if there's no Cam Newton, that would be a boost for Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Jonathan Stewart has got probably the most talent of all the running backs, but he has a history of not being able to stay healthy. He's healthy. Excuse me, he's healthy now. As long as Jonathan Stewart stays healthy, he's the better back. He's the one back you want to have. I really like Jonathan Stewart as long as he stays healthy to take the lead in this running back trio, I should say, and establish himself as the number one running back with these guys filling in spots. In this game, Tampa Bay, it's a division rival, NFC South. It's going to be tough to run against this Tampa Bay offense. Both these guys are probably, I'm talking about Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, are going to timeshare for now. Probably get the same amount of yardage, 40 to 50 yards. Maybe a couple passes here and there accumulating to 10 to 20 yards. It's nothing. Don't even start these guys. If you have these guys, quite naturally, you don't have any better choices. You got to put them in your flex. Hopefully, you're not putting them in your RB2 because you're really hurting if that's the case. The kid to watch, two guys are really watching this game. The big-time rookie, he at the combine, he was 240. He's lost weight. He's got size. He got route-running ability, and he's got hands. He's got very strong and good hands, especially in the red zone, Kelvin Benjamin. This may be his coming out party because I think if Cam Newton's not in there, or whether Cam Newton's not in there or not, especially with Derek Anderson and his statuesque and no running butt, he's going to be throwing the ball, and Kelvin Benjamin's going to loom very large, so to speak, in the red zone along with the tight end, who's the other main target, not one of these other wide receivers. The other main target is Greg Olsen. I love Greg Olsen in this game. He's going to get about five or six catches. He's a veteran. Kelvin Benjamin, this is his first pro game, so he's going to have jitters. The established veteran, along with whatever established quarterback is going to be in there, is going to rely on Greg Olsen. He's going to get close to 100 yards. I do believe in this, and he's going to get into the end zone. Lance.
Yes, sir. Chiming in, this is going to be another low-scoring, hard-hitting game. Even though that the Panthers are shorthanded, Newton is going to – it doesn't look like he's going to play right now. If he does, very limited. And Carolina's offense, as was, even with Cam in the lineup, was very low budget anyway. And so, number one, Carolina's defense, which was one of the best defenses in the NFL last year, very aware that they have to – play at a very high level to give their chance the best team to win. And so when we're looking at the weapons on the offensive side of the football for Tampa Bay, I certainly say Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, who I was very high on in the preseason, start those guys today. You know, for Doug Martin, I would sit him out. The only thing that's a little risky when it comes to Martin is he gets the goal line carries. And so, look, he can certainly have a day where he has, let's say, 50 rushing yards, 5 points, 30 yards out the backfield, eight points, and score a touchdown, 14. So that is a likely scenario. So, you know, leaving him in, and again, I strongly emphasize, this is week one. You know, take the pressure off yourself. Don't think it too hard. I mean, unless, you know, you're just, you had some bad luck the last couple years, missed the playoffs by one game or something like that. But especially if you have a strong lineup around him, go ahead and play him. But facing Luke Kelce, who's all over the football field, you're talking about Greg Hardy, Charles Johnson, Star Luatelli as a big-time defensive tackle. We're talking about Thomas Davis, who got back to form last year as a outside linebacker with a lot of speed. So it does not look too promising for Doug Martin in the running game. But again, you know, I said some options, but I think there's certainly Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans are some guys who, if there's a weakness from Carolina, it is their secondary. I think that passing the football is going to have to be the way. But I see there's been another low-scoring game, you know, in the 17-13, 20-17 range. So we'll see how that pans out. As far as Tampa's defense, though, I think this is a good matchup for them. They got Lovie Smith over there now as their head coach. So he's bringing that defense over. And they got some nice players. Look, Gerald McCoy finally found himself last year. Lovie Smith was quoted within the last week of saying McCoy's the best defensive tackle in the NFL. They got an Adrian Claiborne. They brought over Michael Johnson from Cincinnati. Levante David is an underrated linebacker. He was a beast last year. And then they got some hard hitters in Deshaun Goldson and Mark Barron over the top. And so I think this could be a good matchup for Tampa Bay's defense at home today.
Okay. Let's move on to this game should interest you, the other 4 o'clock game, San Francisco and Dallas. I'm taking Dallas on this. I'll definitely give you San Francisco. Tony Romo, in my opinion, with the things that have been going on with the Dallas defense that they really haven't fixed and the things that have been going on with the San Francisco defense of losing players, I think this is going to be a shootout. I think Tony Romo, especially in Dallas, I think Tony Romo is going to throw for close to 300 yards in this with a couple touchdowns. I think DeMarco Murray, definitely a good play in here. I don't think the defense, no offense to you, but I don't think the defense of San Francisco is what it used to be, especially with Navarro Bowman out there and Smith not being there for the first 9 games. That's going to definitely give a blow, especially against the running game and the pass rush. So I think DeMarco Murray runs for about 70 yards and a touchdown with another 4 receptions, about 10 to 20 yards. Dez Bryant should have a very good day. The San Francisco secondary, I think, is suspect right now, and I think Dez Bryant can take advantage of that. So I think he hits the century mark with a touchdown. Also, the mainstay BFF of Tony Romo, Jason Witten, I think he's going to have a fine game in this in the middle of the field, about 5 to 6 catches with 60 to 70 yards. And he's also a good red zone target. So I think this game is going to be a shootout. I really believe that. I think there's going to be a lot of points established on both sides of the ball. Both sides of the sidelines for these two teams. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep, Jerry, I'm on board with you. As far as the 49ers go, this should be a cakewalk for this offense. They struggled in the preseason, but they weren't on the football field an awful lot together. I will say that they did not look good, but rarely did you see every single starter on the football field at the same time. For the 49ers. And so, look, I strongly believe that Colin Kaepernick, this is his time. If he is not able to step up to the plate with the weapons that they have, being a healthy Michael Crabtree, a healthy Anquan Boldin, you bring over Steve Johnson, who was the number one receiver from Buffalo. You have Vernon Davis. You have Frank Gore, who's still a top 10 running back in the NFL. You have one of the best run-blocking offensive lines. Pass protection is definitely a concern for the 49ers. Some of the other teams around the NFL, we've seen that with the Packers Thursday night. The 49ers excel in run blocking, but pass protection has certainly been an area of concern. But Dallas does not have anybody to rush the passer. DeMarcus Ware is no longer there. Anthony Spencer, he's been an underachieving player. And so everything is lined up for all San Francisco starters. I believe Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, Frank Gore, Colin Kaepernick, all in line to have very productive days. And what Jerry, as Jerry said, this should be a shootout because if you have the 49ers defense, you're probably going to end up playing them because I'm assuming that you picked them to start. But as we mentioned, no Alden Smith for nine games. They've got to find somebody to rush the passer. They still have Ahmad Brooks. He can bring the heat, but they without Glenn Dorsey, who was a defensive tackle. He's gone for the year. No telling where Ray McDonald's head is. He recently got arrested for domestic violence charges. They without Navarro Bowman, the all-pro inside linebacker. You have an overhaul in the secondary. You have both Terrell Brown and Carlos Rogers moved over to Oakland. Then you have a new safety in Antoine Bethea, who's good, but he's still, you know, learning the system. And I think the biggest story that's coming out of San Francisco right now is that that locker room, I did not know this, but the players, and if it got to the media, then you know it's something, but the players for San Francisco are questioning if head coach Jim Harbaugh is all chips in, is all in. And so, and I think that it, more than anything, his toughness represented that defense you've seen the last couple of years. So certainly the San Francisco defense, if you can find some better options, you know, I talked to you about some possible low-scoring games today. You may want to go that route because I don't see them having their normal amount of success that they normally do. This would normally be a game where we would be starting San Francisco's defense with confidence if they had all the players that are missing that we just mentioned.
Okay, we don't have that much time left to advance, so I'm not even going to go into the Indy and Denver game. Most of those players, you know who to play and just expect the most out of them. I want you to plug your show before we get out of here for tomorrow.
Okay, real quick, and I want to throw this in there real quick, too, because we left them out. Just a couple kickers, which are very valuable, that I think will be an asset to your team today. Justin Tucker, Baltimore. Alex Henry, Philadelphia. Ryan Suck up in Kansas City. Nick Folk for the Jets. Sebastian Janikowski, Oakland. And Caleb Sturgis for Miami. All good kickers to have in your lineup. Real quick, on Twitter, at NFL Exporter, that's NFLExporter. And make sure to listen to the debut of my new show right here. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to review all of our predictions that we made on the master plan today, and then we're going to get you ready for Monday Night Football. We got a big doubleheader leading off tomorrow, New York, Detroit, Arizona, San Diego. We'll talk fantasy football and get you prepped for that one. And thank you once again, Jerry. Great show. We look forward to seeing you here next Sunday on the master plan again as well. Everybody, enjoy your football first football Sundays, and make sure you got your fantasy football lineup set. It's time to go to work.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys is going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank? Or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing.